Every best gift and every perfect gift is from above. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Such sweetness surrounds this day, and how could it not, as we are summoned to motherhood's shrine and contemplate its perfection, this best gift from above, our Blessed Mother, whom we crown as our Queen. Such sweetness is abroad today that one could almost miss the strength, such power, I mean, in this perfect gift. It is a power to shape a soul or to strangle it. The other Sunday afternoon, after my traditional nap, I turned on the radio for a moment, and it was set to the NPR station, and I happened to catch a fascinating story, a woman reminiscing about her girlhood, growing up as a single, with just her mother, a single mother. And one day, as families will, there was a conversation about what happened at school. The girl was then in seventh grade at a public school. "Well, what did you do in school today?" the mother asks. "We had a debate." "Oh, what about?" "About abortion and Roe v. Wade." "And I," the girl says proudly, "I was on the pro-life side because it's murder to kill a little baby." "Murder? Murder?" the mother asked angrily. And then she explained how disappointed she was with her daughter. "Go to Siberia," she says, "and think about what you've just said." Now, in that family, Siberia meant the bedroom closet. And the girl, to be punished, would go to the bedroom closet, which was dark, no light, all full of clothes and coats and things and boxes, and sit there for 30 minutes at a time to contemplate her sins. Now, her mother was a left-wing radical from such a family that dated back to a Jewish family, Trotskyites or communists in Ukraine. And she was very faithful, the mother was, to the heritage and, if you will, the religion of their family. The daughter, for her part, had been raised in no religion, and all she wanted to do was have a normal life with her mother. At that time, the big thing were the Winter Olympics, and she wanted to continue to watch the Winter Olympics with her mother each night. But there was to be no TV for her daughter. Oh, no, that was finished now. And then her mother started giving her pro-abortion buttons to wear to school. And at night, but she'd take them off when she got there. Her mother made her put them on each morning. And at night when she got home, her mother would read to her from feminist tracts. And every Saturday that winter, they went to serve as escorts at the local abortion clinic. Finally, the daughter gave in. "You were right," she says. "Right about what?" the mother asks. "Right about abortion." "Say it," the mother says. "Say it. Abortion should be safe and legal." But still, the mother wasn't convinced. And she did not let up. Now, most of all, this girl had her heart set, her birthday was coming, on a certain pair of skates. How crestfallen she was when she saw her mother come in on her birthday, not with a box of skates, but with a manila envelope. "Where was my present?" And then the mother very proudly announced that she's taken her daughter's birthday money and she's used it to pay for an abortion for a teenage girl. And if that were not enough, she said, "Here's a thank you letter from that girl, and I want you to write her back to correspond with her." Well, the girl thought that her mother had just made the whole thing up, and she was just simply going through the forms. A few more visits to Siberia persuaded her, though, to cooperate, and write she did. And she says, as she was writing, it occurred to her that she was just writing her mother's thoughts. But so she did. She grew up to be an Orthodox leftist, and now is a teacher of writing at Stanford University. But still, she says, she has a little doubt still about that question of abortion. This story, incidentally, illustrates the power of the natural law with which we are born. Thou shalt not kill. It's hard to rub that one out. And it shows, too, it should serve, at least, to remind us how relentless is the ferocity of these satanic forces of pro-abortion. That Father Jenkins of Notre Dame should note this. These people are not interested in civilized dialogue, as they say. They will use every means and every violence, just as they would use it against a little child who's in the wrong place at the wrong time, to promote their purposes. Such is their sense of dedication. I wonder if we could borrow a bit of it. Do any of you know of a mother who would be nearly so strict, so systematic, so unrelenting and unapologetic in the formation of her daughter? No, we get upset, we argue and raise our voices, and we wring our hands and we weep. And we threaten for a while and then back down. Oh, gee, do you really think so? Well, I don't know. Well, and finally, we learn to make do. But can you imagine putting a seventh grader who dresses immodestly, who is smart to her parents, who has bad friends and won't give them up, in Siberia for a while, to contemplate her sins? I don't think so. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent bear it away. As long as they are the only ones with real convictions and backbone, we will lose our children. Today is Mother's Day, and with wondering awe, we honor and we applaud our mothers who have accepted so generously their vocation. The media and the world will belittle you, mothers. You know that. And all of those who are of that mindset will scorn that sweet sight of all of your children all lined up someplace in public. But that is only because your selflessness reveals their selfishness. These naturalists, whom the world calls, you know, left-wingers, in the old days they were known as radical feminists, they've won the day by turning maternity inside out and by exchanging the privilege of motherhood with the right not to be a mother. And still, in their relentless radicalism, they reproach us. Their dedication leaves us in the dust sometimes, I think. Mothers, love your children with the same passion that these other ones put to loving themselves and their political correctness or their possessions and their comfort. Imitate Our Lady, the handmaid of heaven, who accepted the child whom Almighty God chose to give her as that good and perfect gift from above. Never mind the sacrifice and never mind the sword of sorrow. Imitate this blessed mother who, as Saint Bernard and so many saints have said, first conceived the Word of God in her immaculate heart, and then in her flesh. These children of yours are not just yours. They are children of God. They are meant to be conceived as well as born and raised, not of the will of the flesh, nor of man, but of God. Do everything in your power to form and to shape and to mold them into children of God, Christians, followers of our Lord. Mothers, future mothers, prepare yourselves, not by play, but by prayer. Know your faith. Live your faith so that you may bring your children by word and example to live it. Look at the reality, the root of things, by the rosary, which is, for us in a busy life, meditation, indispensable. Meditation made easy. Be a radical. Yes, the word comes from Latin radix, the root. Look at the roots of things. Take control of the rearing of your children and be ready to fight for their innocent souls just as much as you would fight to defend their physical bodies and safety. Don't be satisfied with this world's doctrines and half go along to get along and hope that somehow the best will turn out. If you do, they are lost. Know the reason why that you would not, not that you could not, but that you would not fight fiercely the world and the flesh and the devil, just as this woman once fought fiercely for the world and the flesh and the devil. It is because you would not serve Jesus and Mary serenely. You wouldn't put them first in your life and first in your family. Please, mothers, forget about feeling. You feed their faith every day just as much as you put food in their stomachs. And if they refuse, such are the wages of original sin. And if they refuse someday, and they probably will, and they want poison, especially if you've placed the poison in their reach by their education or by their friends or even in your own home, why then it's up to you to force feed them and never, ever give up. The weakest of you women have, by nature, as well as by grace, with reinforcements from her who is full of grace, you have a strength which puts men to shame. Now, let's see it. Let our children feel its force. Do you remember that line in the movie Man for All Seasons about St. Thomas More? His second wife, Alice, says something in a very determined way. And St. Thomas More, in admiration, says, "Why? It's a lion I've married." So too must you mothers pull out your young cubs from all of the distress and the danger of ignorance or of error or of sin, just as a lioness would. You have to put them straight each day, and you don't have to apologize for having done it or justify yourself to others. Make them walk the right way. And pray to Our Lady. She knows. She knows. She who paid the price of motherhood with her own life. She knows how much it costs, this best gift, this perfect gift, which comes down from above. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.